This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
This is Worldwide Wave, Joy's international news and current affairs show for the LGBTI community, taking you around the globe one country at a time. I'm Stefan, and even in these times of physical distancing, I'm joined remotely on the Worldwide Wave panel by Ian.
Hello.
And Matt.
Good evening, one and all. Now, the Kingdom of Morocco is located in North Africa and has long been a major tourist destination. It has about 30 million inhabitants, and the once French-ruled country continues to criminalise same-sex activity, but also sexual activity outside of wedlock. And now the actions of a member of our very own LGBTI community have placed Morocco's gay community and men who have sex with men in peril.
In mid-April, Moroccan-born trans woman Sophia Talouni posted a video on her Instagram profile which encouraged her Moroccan followers to create fake Grindr profiles and to catfish their brothers, sisters, sons and neighbours in order to out them. While her Instagram profile has been suspended, there are media reports that many men have been outed, causing distress and despair in the gay and trans communities.
To find out what is happening on the ground tonight, we are joined by Ahmed Benchemzi, the Advocacy and Communications Director for Human Rights Watch's Middle East and North Africa Division, based in Morocco. Here's a taste of what's coming up tonight.
There's a law forbidding same-sex behavior in Morocco. That is Article 489 that activists has long claimed the repeal of. And that article, it exposes, people who have quote-unquote deviant sexual behavior, that's how the law phrases it, to 6 months to 2 years in prison. So obviously, people are in the closet for a good reason, not just because they could face bias and prejudice from the society, including their relatives, but also because they could end up in jail.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like Worldwide Wave on Facebook now.
In mid-April, a so-called Instagram influencer actively encouraged her followers to create secret profiles on gay dating apps in order to out gay men and men who have sex with men in Morocco. What made this act more shocking was that the so-called influencer is a trans woman. Sophia Talouni encouraged her 600,000 plus followers to create fake Grindr and Planet Romeo profiles in order to catfish people and out them as gay. Same-sex sexual activities is illegal in Morocco and violent homophobia is rife, and such call can have a dramatic effect on already vulnerable people. Ahmed Benchemzi is the Advocacy and Communications Director for Human Rights Watch Middle East and North Africa Division. We ask Ahmed what the real-life consequences are of being outed in Morocco.
Well, it obviously depends on the situation of your family, whether you live with them in Europe, because it's the case of many young gay men who still live with their parents. There are at risk of being thrown out of the house if their parents are not accepting of their homosexuality, which unfortunately is quite expected given the pretty conservative environment. That's the first immediate possible consequence. Some gay men that we have been in contact with since this situation started have been beaten up by family members. One of them mentioned his brother beating him up. So yeah, there are adverse consequences in your immediate environment. Now, there are also legal consequences because Article 489 of the Penal Code in Morocco punishes same-sex behavior, which is called deviant sexual behavior. That's, I'm quoting the law, of course, with 6 months, to 3 years in prison. So there are also legal consequences. Now, just to bring a bit of nuance to this picture, I don't mean to say that any gay or lesbian individual, LGBT person in Morocco faces those consequences, because there are people who are, understanding and tolerant. I mean, there's nothing to be understanding of, just like an understanding of diversity and that people are not all the same. Let's say that we are in a broadly conservative framework. So, yeah, the risk is the norm, unfortunately.
You just mentioned attack. Has there been a rise in homophobic violence as a result of this post on Instagram?
Well, it's difficult to measure homophobia, especially when the country is under lockdown and everybody is at home. So you can't, watch the number of attacks and see if they're on the rise or not. Physical attacks like in the street or like events like that, that in Western countries or in other countries maybe are used to measure homophobia as a social trend, are not that frequent in Morocco. They're even quite rare. So, I think the only way to measure homophobia, or not the only way, but the main way, is to see the spikes of homophobic discourse on social media. And even that has not been measured scientifically to my knowledge, like no studies that I know of. That said, there have been many homophobic comments on various Facebook groups and accounts that are directly linked to this situation and the outing of this person. Obviously, whenever homosexuality becomes a topic of the hour because there's news associated to it, you have a rise of two threats at the same time, homophobia and LGBT activism.
Are you aware of any other trans people that might have spoken out against the actions of Sophia Talounis on Instagram?
There are not that many out trans people in Morocco that I know of. I didn't hear anyone saying something against that person. Being trans in Morocco is quite a transgression. So I assume that trans people who are out are already challenged in their everyday environment, and they probably will not want to add activism on top of that. Maybe I'm speculating here, and I would like to be proven wrong, but I didn't hear.
Have you got a sense of why this trans influencer might have done such a thing on Instagram?
It is difficult to speculate on the motives of people. This person is quite difficult to understand. I mean, she sometimes defines herself as a trans woman, then she defines herself as a gay man. And even that, it's not my business. I mean, she can define herself the way she sees fit. The problem is her public positions. Even as self-defining as a gay man, she would shun gay men and say that gay men have no place in Moroccan conservative Islamic society. And then at the same time say that it's a shame that gay men are out, are in the closet, sorry, and that they should all do their coming out, whatever the risks associated to that move, which doesn't make sense. I mean, if you take those positions and you collate them one to another, it provides for a larger picture that is broadly incomprehensible. Let's add to that she lives in Turkey, which is quite far away from Morocco, and therefore she's totally shielded from adverse reactions in Morocco. So, it's just that person that has very obscure motivations and I don't want to judge. I just know that what she's done is really bad. So at some point, how it all happened is that she's an influencer, and she has about half a million followers. I'm using the past because Instagram has suspended her account since.
Yeah.
But she used to do live shows with people. I don't know, celebrities, I guess, or I don't know what the criteria of her choice. But at least twice, I have been told, she invited, some persons to, I assume gay men, to, share her live. And then she outed them live. She said, "Oh, come on, you're gay, admit it." And well, the men were shocked and they didn't want to admit it because, understandably, because, I mean, it's a personal decision to come out. It's not something that someone should force you to under any circumstances, and especially not when you're from a society that is broadly conservative and when you risk prison for that. Well, she did it anyway, for two men, I think. She got a lot of very strong negative reactions. And as a response to those negative reactions, she came out live, giving a pretty curious advice to all those who criticized her, saying, "Oh, you want to know, you're criticizing me, you play all virtuous, but gay men are everywhere, they're all around you. And if you want to know, just download Grindr. And, it's a location-based app, so you will see the gay men who are immediately around you. Who knows, maybe they are in your home. Maybe it's your father or your husband or your brother." And that was the starting point. I didn't hear her telling her followers to out those people that were catfished like that. But that's what happened.
Yeah.
So this is how it all spiraled out of control.
That's Ahmed Ben Chemzi, the Advocacy and Communications Director for Human Rights Watch Middle East and North Africa Office, with us here on Joy 94.9. It's such a challenging situation, isn't it, that you, particularly in this age of COVID-19, where you've got people who are bunkered down in their homes and if they are same-sex attracted, they're kind of losing their support networks that are around them. They're not able to get out. And if they're in this situation where, they could actually be thrown out of their house.
Well, according to the New York Times, at least three cases where men were kicked out of their houses. And there's also been, very, very sadly, a reported suicide. It's clear that people have been very harshly impacted by this. But I'm also interested in the story that, in a country like Morocco, and we might talk a bit more about how Morocco is being perceived as tolerant, just how this came about. I mean, Stefan, you saw the story emerging a few days ago. You were ahead of the rest of us. How did the story emerge online?
Well, it all started by the report of this trans influencer that called for a fake profile to be created by sisters, wives, because obviously, we found out, same-sex sexual activity is illegal in Morocco. I think we talk about that a little bit later in the interview, but there's a lot of covert activities happening. So that's what happened. What made it worse at the time and why it was so widely reported is because the trans influencer is a trans woman.
For our listeners here in Australia, if this story is bringing up some issues for you, there's lots of help for you. Go to joy.org.au/support for all the services. Coming up, we find out what the local LGBTI community feels about this outing by one of their own. You're on World Wide Wave.
This is Scott from the Equality Network Scotland on the World Wide Wave.
Of course, even as we are physical distancing and broadcasting outside the studios, you can still message us on Facebook. That's W3Joy or World Wide Wave. We had a great outpouring during the week about the partner of the Victorian police constable killed in the roadside tragedy, Margaret Jude. A heap of people commented there. And, of course, we're chasing this story too in Poland about the LGBT-free zones and the use of the rainbow masks. Nikolai has challenged them, saying, "The quote, homosexuality is unnatural, says the book where snakes talk, apples set an eternal curse. People come back from the dead and a virgin has a baby." Thanks for that, Nikolai.
Tonight we're speaking with Ahmed Ben Chemzi from the Human Rights Watch about a trans social media so-called influencer who is encouraging the outing of gay and bisexual men in Morocco. We asked Ahmed how the LGBTIQ community in Morocco is reacting to the widely publicised calls for public outings of gay men and men who have sex with men.
Well, if by LGBT community you mean LGBT activists, well, I obviously feel bad about her because she created a huge problem and because she put a lot of people at risk and because she caused the outing of at least 100 person, according to their counting, who are in trouble. Either they were expelled from their houses or they got a beating or... the LGBT community, and I mean by that the activists within the LGBT community in Morocco, are very vibrant groups. They all operate under the surface, obviously, because it's illegal. Mm-hmm. They have done a wonderful job. They created online resources, they mobilized psychologists, they created hotlines, they catered to people who were able to host. And, you know, let's remind everyone that this is a global pandemic and the country is in lockdown and you cannot just move out in the street, just walk out like without a permit. And you can't just go from a house to another one easily. You have to sneak out. In this context, finding brave people who were able to defy sanitary orders in order to welcome someone in their home because that person otherwise would be at risk and in the street. That is not an easy stunt to pull out, and they did it. So the LGBT, hat tip to the Moroccan LGBT community. As much as society is broadly conservative and unforgiving of difference, well, the LGBT activist community is resilient, strong, energetic, and I want to salute them here.
Ahmed, do you have a sense whether this outing has received any local media coverage? I know that there's been a lot of international coverage, but in terms of local media.
Yes, there has been coverage in local media, online media, obviously, privately operated media. The publicly operated media did not cover this story, to my understanding. Yeah, there have been stories in websites and in pretty widely read websites. And the tone of the story has been quite factual, but obviously acknowledging that this is a problem and that these people were outed, well, without their consent, which is a pleonasm. Obviously, you cannot be outed with your consent and that it's a bad thing and that this action had them face adverse consequences. So, yeah, there has been...
You alluded a little bit to life as a LGBTIQ person in Morocco. Could you give us a better sense of what is it like to be same-sex attracted or trans in Morocco?
Well, I mean, it's not that much unlike being LGBT and under the closet elsewhere than Morocco. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, I assume that the feeling of hiding your real identity or sexual identity or sexual orientation and gender identity to everyone must be excruciating as a feeling. So I don't see why it would be different in Morocco as compared to other countries. And when it comes to being in the closet, I think it's comparable to everywhere else in the world. Now, what differs maybe is the legal risk that you take if you are outed. Because as I said earlier, there's a law forbidding same-sex behavior in Morocco. That is Article 489 that activists has long claimed the repeal of. And that article, it exposes, people who have quote-unquote deviant sexual behavior, that's how the law phrases it, to 6 months to 2 years in prison. So obviously... people are in the closet for a good reason, not just because they could face bias and prejudice from the society, including their relatives, but also because they could end up in jail. Now, that said, the law is enforced, and it's every single case of enforcement is a tragedy. But the numbers in 2018, these are the latest available official numbers, about 180 persons were sentenced under this law. Morocco is a country of 30 million inhabitants, so we could assume that the vast majority of homosexual activity is not punished, is not cracked down on by the police. But it's not a reason. I mean, it's not a reason to say everything's fine. It's because the police doesn't look your way until it does, you know? Yeah. So you live with this Damocles sword over your head all the time, and that in itself is unacceptable.
Do you know how? Because you're saying there's not widespread arrests of people. What does trigger an arrest and the use of this article?
Yeah, it's often people reporting. Sometimes there are widely publicized incidents. Like a couple of years ago, there was a break-in, like a group of people, misfits or hooligans, I don't know how to call them, but they had the brush with the law several times, decided to break in a house in order to catch two homosexual men, having sex red-handed. And that was some account settling of some sort because the attackers knew the victims. And the police arrested the four of them, I think. The attackers because they attacked and the gay men because they were gay. So that was one of the circumstances. Of course, there was a lot of media coverage. And I think that the story turned out not so bad because the gay men were freed at some point. I'm not sure of the details, but yeah, it's situations like that happen. There was the case of this trans woman who was walking in the street dressed in women's attire while maybe people recognized her as a man or thought it was a man, and she was attacked in the street. And the police had to intervene to defend her. And to defend her, they arrested her. So under what legal, situation we are here is quite obscure. But the incident was triggered by a public incident, by people attacking someone else in the street. So there are cases like that are widely covered by the media. Most of the cases are just go under the radar.
From Human Rights Watch Middle East and North Africa, Ahmed Ben Chemzi, you're on Joy 94.9. What is more shocking? Is it that it is a trans person doing this or the actions that people are taking in following what she's encouraging?
I actually don't give a rats about Instagram followers. But what I'm appalled about is how social media can be used and how the tools, of course, that gay men and men who have sex with men use to meet up can be abused in this way. And this just highlights to me that in those countries where you don't have laws to protect people, we're extremely vulnerable. I mean, I've been to Morocco. It's a beautiful country. It is absolutely beautiful country. And the people there are wonderful. And what I love about Morocco is the mountains and all the gorgeous areas, the food. And I would say that Morocco is somewhat a tolerant country, but it is, as has been described by Ahmed, it is underneath the surface, there are not protections for people. There are not protections for people. And this story really shockingly highlights to me that in a country that doesn't have legal protections, what can happen.
Indeed, coming up, we're going to explore that issue of balancing tourism and the LGBTI tourism in Morocco. This is Worldwide Wave.
This is Tiseke Kasambala from Human Rights Watch South Africa office on the Worldwide Wave.
It's the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time, Worldwide Wave. And tonight we are in Morocco. A special hello to everybody listening to us on podcast. You can subscribe to receive our podcast automatically either at joy.org.au/worldwide wave or on iTunes, Spotify or any of your favorite podcast platform. And if you do subscribe and like us, please don't forget to leave a review.
You won't just like us, you'll love us, I'm quite sure. Now, our guest tonight is Ahmed Ben Chemzi, the Advocacy and Communications Director for Human Rights Watch Middle East and North Africa Division. We asked Ahmed, what was preventing the repeal of the law that criminalises same-sex sexual activities in Morocco?
Well, this law, as much as another law article, Article 490, which prohibits sexual relations between heterosexual people, if they're not married. So that is also forbidden. And I mean, both these laws and other laws derive from from Islamic laws, because the Islam is the official religion of the country. The king is the commander of the faithful. So religion is part of the legal fabric of the country. And that's why it is hard for the state to just decide to take it out, because that would mean renouncing a part of the religious legitimacy as the quote-unquote protector of Islamic Moors in the country. Now, that being said, there is some progress. The National Council for Human Rights, which is a state-appointed body, the king appoints the president of the council and, you know, high-level leaders of that council. So it's a body that is tasked with providing advice. It doesn't have an executive role within the government. However, whenever there's a law that needs to be passed or repealed or changed or an important policy to be decided upon, and it has to do anything with human rights, well, consulting that council is mandatory, and the consultations are usually made public, because they are made so, the advice of the council are made public by through reports. Now, the reason why I'm mentioning all this is because the CNDH, Council for National Council for Human Rights, came up recently with a very strong set of recommendations to the government, including repealing laws against homosexual relationships and heterosexual relationships outside of marriage. They recommended that pretty clearly. They said that if Moroccan state want to be in coherent with the international accords that it had signed as regards to human rights, well, these laws should be repealed. So this is the state advising the state to do this. And that is very positive. When this happened, we issued a communique immediately supporting that state body. Yeah. Yeah. The law hasn't been repealed yet. And I want to speculate on the future, but I don't think it will be anytime soon, because the recommendations have been denounced by several political parties and by the government. But still, it's good that the debate is opened and that breaches appear within the state itself. Means that there is progress in the minds and the mentalities, and that's a good thing.
Morocco is a relatively big tourist destination, and there is perception that it is quite a liberal country. What do you think is behind this perception?
Well, it's not a myth, you know. Same-sex activity is, well, I don't have facts or statistics to rely on, but it is, let's say, common knowledge that same-sex activity, and sometimes, like, not nice aspects of it, including sexual tourism, flourishes in some cities like Marrakesh or Tangiers, homosexual sexual tourism. So, and generally, the authorities don't crack down on such activities, even though they should when it comes to sexual tourism, heterosexual or homosexual, whatever the kind. I mean, if it involves minors and it involves exploitation of minors, that should definitely be cracked on. But the government doesn't crack on it as much as it should, probably for touristic for reasons, for preserving business of tourism. So I mean, I don't know if we can call that tolerance. It's more a political / economic reasoning that tourism is important for the country and that we should just look the other way. And also, I mean, same-sex relationships within Moroccans, I mean, outside of the tourism paradigm, are usually, you know, tolerated as long as they're not claimed out loud, you know? 180 cases out of a country of 30 million people, it's obviously that it's a small minority of homosexual activity in the country. And we can assume that the rest of the homosexual activity in the country is not repressed as the law provides, which is a good thing. But is it a good thing because there's an official creed of openness and tolerance, or rather a general consensus that it's okay to be gay as long as you don't claim it out loud. And the price to pay is that once every blue moon, the government will just arrest a couple of homosexuals to showcase how tough it is on defending religious mores. And then life will come back to normal after that. And, you know, gay life will resume again. It's a pretty precarious balance, you know, a social balance that is built on hypocrisy and acceptance of laws that are against human rights standards is not a balance that is sustainable. And this, so this is what I guess people call, you know, openness and tolerance in Morocco. It's that balance. It's the fact that, yes, it's forbidden, but most of the time the government won't say anything. Yes, it's forbidden, but for touristic reasons, let sexual tourism flourish in Marrakesh, and we won't say anything. I wouldn't call that tolerance. I would call that a social system based on hypocrisy that would better be reformed by clear standards that are in coherence with human rights obligations that Morocco has signed on, by the way.
Ahmed Ben Shemzi from Human Rights Watch, speaking to us at World Wide Web from Morocco. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
I guess it's one of these situations where there's a law there. It's not really being implemented that thoroughly. As Ahmed said, you know, they seem to have these token arrests every now and then just so that they can show that they're doing something. But what was 180 odd arrests out of 30 million people is pretty low key.
One of the things he said that was interesting, I think, is that the law might be applied in particular cases, perhaps where people use it, I guess, as a form of abuse. Or it may be, and we see this when we have like discriminatory laws, that people use it against an ex-partner or they use it against a family member.
Yeah, as a punishment for doing something. I mean, the case of the burglary is quite interesting, you know.
There's kind of the reverse. I mean, he mentioned there was the trans person who was being attacked by people on the street. The police arrested her kind of as a way of protecting her, but they use the law against her in order to protect her. It's really hard to get your head around.
Well, I understand where it comes from, because the Morocco that I know is a tolerant country, certainly a tolerant country for a Muslim country. But that's not embedded in law. So, you know, you are tolerated and you are indeed welcomed, very much welcomed, like in a country like Morocco. Everyone is welcome, but you do not...
As long as you're not visibly gay.
Possibly. I would even say for tourists, I've had mixed opinions, mixed experiences over the years. But yes, you will. There is a tolerance. There is an understanding, especially amongst younger people. And before, let's be honest, before guys get married, and there's an expectation that they will get married before maybe they're in their mid-20s. And there has been a history of tolerance as well. Morocco has been different from many other countries in North Africa and in the Middle East. But when I was listening to this interview, I was thinking, I wonder what London was like 30 years ago. Okay, I was in London 30 years ago. I wonder what Melbourne was like 30 years ago, when maybe homosexuality was tolerated by many people, but there weren't laws protecting people. And I think there were some parallels in thinking like that, that people are then fearful. They don't want to be discovered. So it might be accepted amongst your community, amongst people that you hang out with and amongst your social circle, but you're always under that fear of what might happen if you're outed.
Stefan, this has had international media coverage. Do you think it will hurt their reputation as a welcoming tourist place?
Thinking of tourism at the moment is a little bit difficult with what's going on. I think it probably will. I've been thinking about it, thinking that probably they will want to get more tourists back when this has happened. So it's probably going to be likely to... I don't think it will change anything. And especially, I think, as Ahmed was saying, about, you know, this government bodies were actually calling for the repeal of that law. So it seems that things are going in the right direction. I don't think it will change the position of Morocco as a tourist destination. And I think if you look at the three North African countries, Tunisia, Morocco and Algeria, so Tunisia is probably the most advanced, Morocco is second, and then Algeria, which is really, really
bad situation for LGBTIQ community.
I do want to call out, though, the respect and thanks to the LGBT activists, the visible ones, they're vibrant but secretive, I think Ahmed said, who rallied to, you know, provide support and resources for those who are affected by this. They are our rainbow heroes there in Morocco.
This is Samuel from Kenya on World Wide Wave.
Well, you keep up with LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like us on Facebook, World Wide Wave, or visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
A diverse sound for a diverse community. Joy.
Thanks to Ahmed Ben Chemzi, the Advocacy and Communications Director for Human Rights Watch, Middle East and North Africa Division, who was speaking to us from Morocco. And the website is hrw.org.
To all the people who are joining us and liking us and sharing our stories on Facebook, like Gabe, Keith, Sana, Betty, Brett, a heap more, it's W3Joy or World Wide Wave on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you and interact with you throughout the week.
And thank you to behind the scenes to our podcaster, Peter, and our social media master, Dean.
We'll catch you next week on World Wide Wave.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe, one country at a time. World Wide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne and online at joy.org.au. You'll find all our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.